We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelik Beis, Hilchos Reishis Hagez, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Tes Zayin. We're actually in the middle of the paragraph. In our sets, it's about 30 lines into the paragraph. It's on the left-hand column, 8 lines down from the top. Again, this Halacha in Likutei Halachos is based on chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is a long, heavy chapter of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses many things. Right now, we're almost finished with this halacha, so we've covered quite a bit of ground. For those that are with us for the first time, we'll try the best we can to integrate into where we're up to right now. Rav Nosson Zal here is speaking about Megillas Rus, which coincidentally we're going to be reading in a few weeks. We're right now in the middle of the Omer. Today is the 30th day of the Omer, which means in 20 days it's going to be Shavuos. We're going to be reading Megillas Rus. And Rav Nosson Zal here has been tying in the discussion of Megillas Rus to what we're learning about here. And he mentioned the fact that if you look at how it starts there, it starts talking that the story takes place during the time of the wheat harvest, and it mentions a lot about eating in the throughout the story, about providing food for Rus. She can take whatever she wants to eat, and then it says about Boaz, he ate and he drank and he was satisfied, etc. And Rav Nosson Zal was connecting this to what Rabbi Nachman writes over there in Likutei Moran, that eating is a very special time. We know that a Jew connects with Hashem in different ways. Prayer, tefillah, is one of the deepest connections to Hashem. Song is a very high level of dveikus to Hashem, deep, deep attachment to Hashem. The study of Torah. But what some people aren't aware of is that eating is one of the most important times of a deep connection with Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about it in that chapter in the Likutei Moran over there. He mentions that during eating, when a person is eating, they can experience he'oras harotzoin, which is an incredible deep desire for Hashem, a deep longing for Hashem that's tied into the light which is conveyed to when a rabbi or a father is teaching Torah to their children or students. Rabbeinu Zal over there speaks about the he'oras ben v'talmid, the light that's being communicated by a father to a son or by a rabbi to a student. And Rabbeinu Zal explains the differences over there and how it represents two different levels. But he goes on to show in that chapter in Likutei Moran that light and the special light that a Jew can receive during eating, if they eat properly, those two lights are very much connected, as we're going to see here also. Because Boaz and Rus it was necessary for them to draw this light of the son and the student, shehu heoras harotzin shenizgala beiso achila davka, which is the same as this light of rotzin, which is revealed when a person is eating specifically. And this is why the pasuk says over there, "Vayitzbot lo koli v'toichal," that they gave to Rus, a certain type of wheat that was roasted or something like that, or toasted, v'toichal, and she ate from it, v'tizba, and she was satisfied, completely satisfied and satiated, v'toisar, and she left some over. Even it was so plentiful that she ate, completely satisfied, and there still was left over. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hainu Kanal. This is what we were referring to before also, that we saw that when Boaz gave instructions to his workers, he said, let her take whatever she wants, as much as she wants, and then it goes on to describe there that she ate and drank and was completely satisfied. V'zeh shedorshu Rabbi Seinu Zal, and this is why our rabbis expound on that pasuk, and they say, "Vatoichal, she ate bo'olam hazeh." That refers to this physical world. Vatizba, she was completely satisfied and satiated. Limois HaMoshiach. That refers to when Moshiach comes. That's when there's going to be complete satisfaction. Vatoisar, and she even had left over after that. Litchias HaMesim. That refers to what's going to happen after Moshiach comes. 40 years after Moshiach comes is when the dead are going to be brought back to life. Ki achiloso hoisa bikidusha kolkach. Because this woman, Rus, she was a convert, and she was the great-grandmother of Dovid HaMelech, of Moshiach. And the Torah writes about her goodness and her holiness and how special she was. And Rav Nosson Zal points out here that her eating was on such a high level of holiness, to the point where she experienced this he'oras harotzim, this great light of desire for Hashem, during the time of eating. This is a taste of the high level of spiritual light that's going to be prevalent during Tchiyas HaMesim, when Hashem will bring the dead back to life in the future. She'oz yihye ikar hizgalus harotzim. That's when there'll be the highest level of this deep desire, this revelation of rotzim, of desire and longing for Hashem, this deep connection. Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, which Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there, ko'eis ye omar le'yakov u'le'yisrael ma po'al kel. Like the time when the angels are going to say to the Jewish people, what is Hashem doing? Meaning that the Jews are going to have a closer relationship. They're going to have front row seats with Hashem, to the point where the angels are going to be asking the Jews, what did Hashem say? What is Hashem doing? So we're talking about, obviously, a tremendous closeness. V'hi zochso le'ho'ora zois ba'esu achila. And Rus experienced that light while she was eating. Ki oz zoichen lozekonal. Because it's during eating, when a person eats with the right intentions, where they're not eating just for physical desire, they're eating to unite the body and soul so that they can both work together to serve Hashem and please Hashem. And a person makes the brachas the right way before they eat and after they eat. And they eat in a calm way, very carefully, as if they're sitting in front of a king at the time, in a very dignified way. That's when a person's eating could be like korbanos that were brought. The Gemara says during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, we had a holy temple, we had a mizbeach. If a person committed a sin, he brought sacrifices to atone for it. Today that we don't have a Beis HaMikdosh, we don't have a mizbeach, shulchanoi shelodo mechaper kemizbeach. A Jew's table can atone for him just like the holy altar in the Beis HaMikdosh. That if a person eats properly with the proper derech eretz and with the everything, then the food they're eating is korbanos. And by the korbanos it says, l'rotzoin lefnei Hashem. That the purpose of these sacrifices was to bring about an appeasement and a desire, a good healthy desire between Hashem and the Jewish people. V'zeh shekosu shom, and this is why the Torah tells us over there in Megillas Rus, Vatera Chamoiso Asher Liketo, her mother-in-law, Rus's mother-in-law, who was Naomi, she saw what Rus had gathered up, the grain and everything that she had picked, Vatoitse, and she went out, Vatitenlo Es Asher Hoisiro Misovo, and she gave her that which she had left over from her satisfaction. And it was, she had been completely satisfied. She had a full amount. And then she gave her what remained after that. Rav Nosson Zal says, Es asher hoisiro daiko. Look at the wording there. It says, what she left over, shehu bechinas vatoisa lo'olam haba hanam. This is connected to what we mentioned before, the pasuk earlier, where it says that there was left over. And the Gemara says, left over implies olam haba, in the future world. Ki ikar hu bechinas vatoisar lo'olam haba, because the main goal of a person in this world is to have something left for the future world. Shehu bechinas he'oras harotzin shemizgal beis achila. This refers to that great light of rotzin, of desire, that's revealed at a time that a person's eating. Shalitei ze ikur hatikun, because that helps bring about the greatest degree of tikun, rectification. Kihu bechinas heoras ben v'talmid kanal, because that light is similar or the same as the light which is being communicated from a father to a son or a rabbi to a student. V'alkein gam shem hamokoim shenase boi hatikun hazeh hoyonikra beis lechem al shem hu achila dekdushanal. Rav Nosson says this is why you find, interestingly also, the location where this whole story of Rus takes place, the name of the place is called Beit Lechem. The house of bread. What a strange name to name a place. Rav Nosson Zal says, because again, that place was a place that was tied into this Achila Degdusha, this level of eating with holiness. V'sehu, and this is why the Pasuk says, Vayhi bimei shvoit ha-shoiftim. The Megillas Rus begins with this line, that this event, this story, takes place during the days when the judges were judging. That's the regular translation of those words. V'dorshu Rabbi Seinazal, our rabbis tell us in the Gemara, Shehoyu shoiftim es shoifteihem. It's not the judges were judging, the judges were being judged. That this event took place when there was chaos, when the people were judging the judges. Instead of things being in a proper order, that the judges are people that we can look up to and respect. And we know that we can trust. They're the ones who are qualified to judge us. We're not the ones judging them. We know in current events, we know the world we live in today. All leaders, not all, 99.999% of the leadership is corrupt. They're the guys who are ending up on trial, in jail, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But again, in a world of normalcy, if things were normal at all, or in those days, when the judges were the appropriate judges, the problem was that the people thought they were smarter. They were the ones who wanted to sit in judgment on the judges. Rav Nosson Zal says, Hainu pegam hamishpotanal. This is an example of a defective justice when the people are judging the judges. Ki hamishpot hu bechinas haoras ben v'talmid. Because judgment is another word for this light that's being given from a father to son, from a rabbi to a student. Bechinas, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, hevu misunim badin. Be slow and careful and cautious in your judgment. And the next words in the Mishnah there are, Ve'he'emidu talmidim harbe, and you will establish many students. If you'll be slow in your judgment, if you're quick, like most people are, look at a person, I don't like him. This is out. Look at this one, person spoke to her, he's stupid, he's out. Person works that way, you're going to have a very small yeshiva. You're going to be very limited in how many students you can bring in because you're quick to disqualify. You're better than everybody and you know better and nobody's good enough for you. Nobody's good enough to be in your yeshiva. But the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Heve mesunim badin. Be slow and careful and cautious in judgment. When a father is speaking to a son or a rabbi to a student, be very careful. There are so many tragic stories. Of a father who saw a son do something or suspects that he's positive that the son did it and he accuses him and he punishes him right away without having done his homework really, really properly. And you find out years later that the son didn't do it and either the son left the father totally or at best kept a grudge in his heart, lived with a grudge for years, based at the injustice. This is called Pegama Mishpat, the injustice, Rachmona Litzlan. So we see that Mishpat, the term Mishpat, which is used regarding courts and judgments and justice, is also the term that's used regarding teaching. You know, it's a yeshiva, or a father teaching the son, or a rabbi teaching, that's also judgment. That's also a court session taking place. Bechinas ki elikim shoifet. As the Pasuk says, which we quoted earlier, Hashem is a judge, ze yashpil v'ze yorim. Hashem knows whom to lower and whom to elevate. We spoke about this in the previous shiur, that when you're speaking to a person, to two people are standing to you. Two people can be standing near a rabbi or a parent, two sons. One son, the son who's the weaker son, who's not doing so well in school and not doing so well, the father tells him, "Wow, I'm so proud of you that you left the house this morning at 11 o'clock instead of sleeping all day like you did. Yeah, I'm so proud of you." He's saying all kinds of good compliments and encouragement. The other son, who left at 6 o'clock in the morning and is getting hundreds on all of his tests, the father says, I know you, and I know you could do better. I know you in this class you're getting the 100, but your age, this is not the class for you at all. You're with boys younger than you and everything. You could be doing much better than this." And a person looks at this at first and they say, "This is absurd." But they don't understand that this is mishpat. This is a judgment that's being made in recognizing where this boy is at now and where this boy is at. If I reprimand him, if I put him down, I'll kill him. I'll drown him. Whereas the other one who's doing so well, if I compliment him, he'll retire. He'll go into retirement. He'll go on vacation. So him, I need to be able to convince and make him realize that he's doing good, but for him, this is small fry. This is small potatoes. He could be doing much, much more. Ve'oz nivgam ha-mishpat hazeh. And during the time that this event takes place, the event of Rus, the story of Rus, it says that it was during when the judges were being judged, when the people were judging when the people were judging the judges, so that the justice was messed up. Alkein, therefore, what's the next words? Vayhi rov baretz. There was a famine in the land, meaning shelo zachu oz lesevia. They did not experience satiation, satisfaction. They did not eat to fulfillment. Which we learned earlier, when a person is satisfied, that's when they can experience that he'ora sarotzon, that high level connection to Hashem. Shehu nimshach mehoras ben v'talmid, which is a light that a person receives from that light of the son and student. Shemishom mekabeles hamalchus haparnosa kanal. And that's actually where the malchus, which is the power of Hashem that's supposed to distribute parnasa to people, that's where the malchus receives its power from. As Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, every three words over here is a whole paragraph over there in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on it and he proves it and he explains it. And this is why what was lacking by Machloin and Kilyon were that they were not zeiche to leave behind a remainder in the world. They didn't have kids at the time. Shehu bechinas he'oras ben v'talmid. That's this light of the son and the student. V'nistaknu and their tikkun, who was the one who was misaking Machloin and Kilyon? It was Boaz and Rus. Besoid hayibum hanal, through the yibum process that we described in the previous shir, that the act of Boaz and Ruth getting married was in a sense a yibum to rectify the souls of Machloin and Chilion. V'alkein nikro shem haben hanoilad lohem oived, and this is also why the child that was born to Boaz and Ruth was named oived. Shehu bechinas oived admosoi yizba lochem kamuva, as is brought in the Sforim, that he was named oived based on the pasuk that says oived, a person who works the earth will be satisfied with bread. Meaning, if you plant and plow and do everything you're supposed to do, you will eat to your satisfaction. So we see again that this name oived, this child that was born to Boaz and Ruth, is being marames to this holy eating, which results in total satisfaction and satiation, which is tied into that heoras harotzon. Hainu ki ze ikar hatikun, because this was the main tikun for Machloin and Chilyoin and in general, shenoilad lohem ben, that there was born a son to Boaz and Ruth, she'al yodoi nimshach heoras ben v'talmid, through whom they would be able to bring to the world this light of the son and the student. That's this light of rotzayin that's revealed at the time of eating. Shezeo bechinas oyved admoso yizbalochem. That's this child that was born to them, oyved, who is based on the pasuk, a person who works the land will be satisfied, completely satisfied and satiated with bread. Now, in the previous shiurim, we spoke about the shoes. We mentioned the shoes as a protection for the feet. The shoes are a tzimtzum. The shoes protect because the feet are all the way down below and the forces of tumah, of impurity, try to draw from there, from like to tackle the person from down below. And we said this is why we wear shoes, to serve as a protection. Shoes are a malbush, like a vessel that encircles something to protect it, to keep it whole. And we mentioned that the shoes receive their light from the makifin, from the highest level. Makifin means like a halo around a person's head. That wisdom and knowledge that a person hasn't attained yet, it's not in their head yet, but this is what they're aspiring to. This is what they want to get to. We mentioned kitfilin kach min olayim, that just like tfilin are made from leather, so too the shoes are generally made from leather. The connection between those two, tfilin are around the head. They represent these makifin.